Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess, Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So we'd like to welcome you tonight, and also if you have any questions or if you have any comments, we would appreciate it if you call us, and it always adds some spice to the show, as they say, that when we get these calls, people can hear what you're thinking, and also they can make a connection with you. Our phone number is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again for you. Area code 646-716-4893. So tonight, as Misty and I discussed, we're going to have a shortened show because I'm not going to lie, I am exhausted. I came back from my trip to Bermuda. I was away for the week, resting on the high seas with my friend Jody. Jody's a member of our support network. And it was just, you know, something I need to do once a year is to get away for a week because of my very busy schedule of working every day. Just about, as I do teaching during the day and at night. So I needed this week, and now that I had it, I thought I'd come back all invigorated, but I'm really tired, Misty.
I always say you need a vacation.
I mean, I didn't do anything. I just really relaxed and just really try to think very little about anything and just enjoy myself because I really don't usually do that, and I think, like, once a year I have to do that for a week.
Because
I can re-energize and, you know, move on with different things. But one of the nice things that happened before I went on the trip with Jody is that we had a really wonderful get-together dinner the night before we launched off last Saturday night with some of our women in New York. And I was so excited because I actually had a chance to meet two women who have been guests on our show, and that would be Kiri Blakely and Julia Jeske. And, you know, with our other women who usually meet up with us. And it was just such a wonderful evening having a chance to meet them. I mean, it was really exciting because Tracy from New York also came. And, you know, Tracy, I'm one of her biggest fans for her, you know, comedy acts. And I love Tracy. So she was had a chance to meet Juliet, who also does, besides being a clown, she's also a comedian and a writer. And, Kiri had been our guest the week before, so it was really a treat for me to meet Kiri. And I guess, you know, what really impressed me so much about both Kiri and Juliet was the fact that these were women who were really open in, you know, telling their stories. And one of the things that I really appreciated, first of all, about Kiri and her book, you know, Can't Think Straight, it was a book that it took me a long time to get to read because I'm not much of a reader, you know, unless I have to. But her book was a very long book, and I picked it up and I didn't put it down just about till I was finished with it. And I felt so much pain when I was reading that book, and I had so many laughs because she's very funny. But the story was very painful, and I think what Kiri's book does more so than any of the other books that I've read is talks about that recovery period afterwards, you know, after finding out the news and splitting up with, you know, your mate. And now you have to first find yourself at the age of, you know, 35 to 40, starting all over. And I think that's something that you can relate to, Misty, because, you know, you are that age. And, you know, some of the triumphs and some of the trials and some of the defeats that you go through in trying to meet someone in the world of dating. And I know that these women are definitely, you know, in that ballpark of having those problems. You know, Juliet also really expressed, you know, all the men who were so disappointing and, you know, how you just feel so desperate at that point because your husband's gay that, you know, you have to validate to yourself, well, hopefully it wasn't something that I did. So you go off and you act ways that you normally wouldn't act just to try to validate yourself. Did you go through a period like that?
You know, the first thing I thought of when you were saying that, excuse me, is I'm just so happy when I set out for my recovery process that I didn't know how long my recovery process would actually be.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot longer than I thought it would take. My healing, I did not rush it. I don't think healing is something that needs to be rushed. I think each person should go at their own time frame. And mine took a lot longer than I thought it would take. It took me, it was over 2 years, closer to 3 years before I even dated again. That's not everyone. Absolutely, that's not everyone. But my recovery process just took a long time, and I'm just now getting into, you know, dating someone that that I enjoy dating, that is the best man I've ever dated in my life. And I am, 12 years out of the marriage. So, you know, it takes time. Everyone's not my story. It doesn't take 12 years. Absolutely not. I mean, I've worked with women, you know, that they will meet someone 2 to 3 years that's the love of their life after post-divorce. But, you know, recovery is just something that's not to be rushed. And that's the message I can deliver for anyone to hear. You know, just don't rush it. Take time. Find yourself. Heal yourself and be who you are. Be with someone that you can naturally be who you are. That's what I've learned most in this new relationship. You know, be with someone that you don't have to hide who you are. And not that you have to hide who you are, but you just feel so comfortable and natural around who you are, and that they care for you, and they're natural and comfortable around you. And, you know, that's something you can really tell. And when you're healed and you feel like you're recovered, it's so much easier. Relationships are just so much easier.
It is, but, you know, I know it's so hard. I mean, for me, it was difficult, but, you know, I was in my 40s going towards 50. But I think, like, when you're in your 30s and this happens to you and you haven't had sex in a number of years and now you find out the reason why, you know, I think sometimes for younger women, the need to go out there and try to recapture what they've missed, or think, you know, to reassure themselves that they're normal sexually. You know, they've been so desexualized by these men, you know, who have made them feel like, you know, their needs are too great. Or, you know, it was really important, I think, like some of the things that Carrie was saying, that, you know, if she realizes now that it's not normal. You know, she mentioned that on our show. If you're 35 years old, and you're not having sex with the person who you're living with, you know, at 35 is not supposed to deteriorate into almost nothingness. I mean, it's just not normal. And
when you're in your 20s, I was in my 20s, and it deteriorated to nothing. It's not normal.
Right, and I think that we come to expect that maybe that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say they don't have any proof, and so many of our women do say that they don't have any proof, they can't prove that their husbands are gay. Well, look, if they're not touching you, that should be your proof. I mean, you really don't need any more proof than that. And as I tell women, even if they're not gay, then they're broken men, and you can't fix them. You need to move on. You know, even if you don't have the proof, something's wrong with them.
Uh-huh.
And it could be one of a million things. But the point is that normal men want sex. It's that simple. I mean, they just want it. They want to touch you. They want to hold you. You know, in fact, somebody sent me a really cute little joke today, and it said, you know, what men know about women, and it's a list of 10 things, and the first 9 were blank, but then the 10th one said breasts. You know, and it was a cute little joke, but it's really kind of true. I mean, this is how straight men think.
Mm-hmm.
And when women tell me, well, their husbands have these fantasies, or they're curious, or that it's kind of normal that all men look on Craigslist, or that, you know, they're just trying to compare themselves to other men because they don't feel like, you know, they want to see how other men look just to make sure they're normal. I mean, this is not normal behavior. I'm just letting every woman know that right now. This is gay behavior, not as opposed to normal, abnormal, but just normal straight behavior. This is gay behavior. Gay men look at, you know, pictures like that. The problem is a lot of them just won't admit it, and not even to themselves. A lot of times they just say, well, it's just normal curiosity. What do you think about that, Misty?
Well, you know, unfortunately, as a professional therapist, you know, we're trying to be very unbiased, and a lot of therapists are trying to go in that direction. say it's normal curiosity. But I think many professionals don't understand the depth of that curiosity. I've experienced that firsthand in a relationship, and it was not normal. It wasn't normal for our relationship. It was normal for him because he was gay. It wasn't normal for a straight marriage. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, he was a straight man, so he was curious because he was gay. And, you know, he would come up with every excuse in the world. But the bottom line was, you know, he was gay. That's why he was looking. It wasn't because he was curious or trying to compare. He was gay. And the men I've dated after, you know, post-divorce, I've never ran into that. I've never experienced that issue again. And and I've dated some very open-minded men that are not gay bashers, that are very gay friendly, that have, you know, several of them have gay, have had, some of the men I've dated have had gay members in their family. So they're very, you know, they're well-versed and they're very accepting of gay members in their family. And they don't, it's not something they're curious about to look at and compare or to look at Craigslist, to do those sort of things. It's just not something I've run into in a relationship since, out of the relationship with my gay ex-husband. It's not anything I've experienced again.
You know, I think that I try to be really understanding, and I know that it's so difficult for so many men to come to terms with themselves, and, you know, it's a matter that they can't admit it, they won't admit it. And I understand all the reasons. And in fact, you know, somebody brought to my attention an article the other day, and it was about the whole Chick-fil-A issue. And the person who wrote it is an actor who's on Young and the Restless. His name is Greg Reichardt. And I'll just read this to you for a moment. It says, the media blitz surrounding Chick-fil-A isn't about chicken sandwiches or Kathy's First Amendment right to speak his mind. Mr. Kathy's company donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which publicly denounces the impure lifestyle of the lesbian, gay, and bisexual transgender community. Furthermore, this company donated money to the Family Research Council, which supports the criminalization of homosexuality, and states on their website that they oppose efforts for homosexuals to have equal rights. Can you even imagine your neighbor, your friend, your sibling, or your child being criminalized for being who they are? I posted a tweet airing my disappointment in Melissa Reeves and another member of the Daytime community for aligning herself with this company that financially supports the furthering of hatred and bigotry. I did so because I have aligned myself with organizations like GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, and I've read too many stories of alienated LGBT kids taking their lives after relentless persecution. Whether grown-up bullies like Dan Cathy or Melissa Reeves realize it or not, they are directly or indirectly telling these vulnerable kids that there is something wrong with them or they are somehow less than. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm certain of it. I'd happily talk to Mrs. Reeves about this myself, but she has not responded to me and has blocked me from having access to her Twitter account. I have happily engaged in debates with people who have reached out to me in defense of her and or their own beliefs. The knowledge that I have the ability to change someone's mind or possibly get them to see the issue from a different perspective is worth a few naysayers who have sent me unkind comments. People also say, agree to disagree. I think that's a cop-out. Frankly, the stakes in this case are too high to let the conversation end. Let's disagree and talk about it. Maybe I can better understand you and vice versa. I'm grateful and encouraged that the majority of feedback I've gotten has been very supportive and positive, and I'm happy to use my bit of notoriety to stand up for what is right. Some people have accused me of bullying for my expressing my disappointment in Mrs. Reeves. A man named Wayne Self likened this rationale to walking up to a bully on the playground, beating up the other kid, and then scolding them both for not getting along. I was having a conversation with some friends the other night, and someone said, what's the end game on the Chick-fil-A issue? My hope is that with all the media attention surrounding the issue, Dan Cathy would be open to taking up meetings with my friends Eliza Beinard of GLSEN and Chad Griffin of the HRC. Maybe we can walk away from with a better understanding of why his actions are so hurtful to the lesbian and gay community, particularly the youngest and most vulnerable members of it, and maybe he will think twice about where his tax-deductible donations go. Until then, I will not be eating at Chick-fil-A. On the occasion that I treat myself to junk food, I'll head out to KFC for some chicken, lunch down on some Oreos or some Ben & Jerry's, and wash it down with a venti iced vanilla latte. So, you know, that's what he wrote. And, you know, when I think about it a lot, and, you know, there were some interesting comments made, you know, against him, which I can't understand this. You know, thanks, Greg, for speaking up. I'm a bit late. Okay, that was one that was positive. You know, there's some that were positive, but others that said, now I'm going to go out and get more Chick-fil-A. Somebody else said, so I guess the lesson to everybody is just keep your opinions to yourself. You know, but a lot of these were, like, really not very nice comments to make. But when you really do think about it, and you think about how people are supporting an effort against gay people, I mean, it's pretty sad, don't you think so?
Yeah, I've not gotten that much into it. I've just heard a lot of stuff about the Chick-fil-A thing, and I really can't comment on that because I'm not well-versed in it. I've not followed it. But what I will absolutely comment on is, you know, I just believe in equal rights for everyone. I don't care if you're straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual. I don't care what you are. I think everyone has basic human rights. We live in a free country. We deserve it. And regardless of what your sexuality is, you deserve those rights because you're here, you're American. And regardless of where you live, even if you're not American, I believe everyone deserves civil rights around the world. I've always been for equal civil rights. It's not fair to be discriminated against because of race, color, sexuality, any of those things. I don't believe in that. Because that sort of leads to, like, you know, the hate crimes, and that's something I just can't tolerate. I don't like to think about those in my world, you know, in my little world. I just don't like those. I don't enjoy.
I agree with you. I am very pro-gay.
I don't like being around people that, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we are both very pro-gay, and I'm, you know, especially pro-gay because I had a daughter who was a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I did everything to support her in coming to terms with who she was and accepting herself, and, you know, I really believe that gay is no choice. Nobody would choose something if they didn't have to choose it, and I think it is a disgrace that you have businesses that are supporting organizations that make it a crime to be gay. I mean, I don't understand it, and I think the people who are in the public eye who are saying, you know, go Chick-fil-A, you know, you're right, you took these moralistic stances, and we're all for you. I mean, I don't get it. Like, don't they understand how hurtful this is to gay people? And if it weren't gay people, if it were black people, or if it were Jewish people, I mean, you know, that certainly happened to Jewish people in Nazi Germany, where people were standing up and saying how bad Jews were. And, you know, as a result of it, 6 million of them were killed. So I think this kind of hatred, you know, is deplorable. There's not enough bad things I can say about it. But on the other hand, that doesn't negate the fact that even though gay people are being discriminated against, there are many gay activists who are out there fighting for gay rights, who are openly gay, who don't feel this need to have to hide behind someone to prove that they're not. Because that's even more hurtful to take a woman who, you know, in the name of marriage and to love and to cherish and honor her, knowing that you do have these kinds of feelings going into the marriage and just hoping they're going to go away if you love her hard enough. The fact is they don't go away. I mean, I have so many men who come to me and say, I really thought these feelings would go away. I feel so terrible. You know, I love my wife, but I just can't be the kind of husband she needs. You know, and these guys really do have regrets. And even that's okay. I mean, life happens like that. But these guys who just won't admit anything, you know, I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
So that's why, to me, you know, it's really a disgrace that, you know, you don't want people discriminating against you, and yet you're going into a marriage with someone, and you're doing something that's very similar. I mean, you're sitting and destroying the life of that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just in a different way. Right?
Yeah, I don't understand the rationale of that either. And also, you know, there's so many women we work with where not only will they marry once, but they may marry 2 to 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that at all either.
Yeah, so like I say, it's pretty disappointing to me when, you know, people have to sit and condemn others. I mean, that it just shows more and more why people have to, you know, go into the closet, hide in there because they're so afraid of, you know, what's going to happen to them if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty disappointing. You know, I can understand how they feel. But once again, you can be closeted without having to, you know, go and marry someone. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know people that are very selective with who they're out with, and I completely understand that. It doesn't mean they married someone. You know, they're in a relationship, but they're selective with who they're out with in terms of certain family members, in terms of their employment, because they feel like they'll be discriminated against, and rightfully so in some situations. I can understand that. I really can. But in terms of marrying someone and lying about who you are, that's harder for me to understand because I have experienced that. I know the hurt and the pain on the straight side of that.
I still don't really understand it. You marry somebody promising to love them, to cherish them, to honor them. I mean, these are the vows you're taking going into it. And life does happen. I'm not saying no. And once again, the gay thing does happen. A lot of men are hoping against hope it's not going to happen. They marry a woman with good intentions. These guys aren't trying to trick these women into some kind of devious situation. In most cases, there's always a few that are exceptions. But my point is that it can't always, you know, work out that way, even though your intentions were good. But what really bothers me is that you have to at least be honest about it. No matter how hurtful you think it's going to be, you don't know how hurtful it is for a woman to always blame herself for something that has nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think that you're suffering, you should see how your wife is suffering. You know, these men should see how the women suffer, not knowing what's wrong in their marriage. And a lot of these guys are just darn mean to their wives. You know, they're frustrated and they're angry. You know, so they take it out on her, like it's her fault that they're miserable. And that's what really upsets me. I don't get that behavior. Maybe you could explain it, Misty.
I don't know. I don't know if I can explain it either. I just know I've certainly experienced it. I know I experienced the brunt of my ex-husband's frustration and anger, and that was not something I want to go through again, that's for certain, because he would blame things on me that now I understand, because it was his own issues. At the time, I internalized it, unfortunately, and I thought, well, if I do this or if I do that, do this a little bit better, or if I fry the pancakes just make them a little bit more round, everything will be more beautiful in this world and this marriage. Well, guess what? It wasn't, because the marriage just wasn't going to be fixed. It was broken, and I internalized most of the problems, which was very unfortunate, and, you know, it just caused a lot of damage. I mean, it caused a lot of damage to me, so, you know, it was not easy.
You know what? It's very mean. Well, it's very mean and mean-spirited when men can't take the responsibility for what the problem in the marriage is. And like tonight in the chat room that we were having a chat, you know, I'll keep everybody anonymous because, you know, that's what the goal is for the chat room. But, you know, the stories that you listen to, and it's so sad. Like, these guys are emotionally manipulating these women, you know, threatening suicide and, you know, threatening all kinds of things. You know, for something that has nothing to do with the woman. You know, if you leave me just because I'm gay, then, you know, I'm going to have to do myself in. Well, you know, then they don't even say they're gay just because I have some sexual issues. You know, this is a new thing. I'm not gay. I'm just straight and I have some sexual issues. So I say, no, you're gay. If you want a penis, you're gay. You know, it really comes down to that, and that's what it's about. You're not a straight man unless you're with a woman. If you want a man, you're not straight. but these guys don't want to hear from it or know from it. You know, they're just living in their own little fairy tale world, you know, and trying to make something into something that it's not. And that's what upsets me so much. You know, when I look at beautiful women and I see, you know, the beauty in all women, but some women who will never be whole because they've been broken down so badly by these guys. You know, and I like to think of us, you know, as women who are strong and women who can overcome all kinds of adversity, but the bottom line is we're really broken from these guys. These guys break us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of us were broken before, and they just know how to sniff it out and how to find us and how to break us down even further. You know, they're also afraid that somebody's going to find out their secret, so they find women who are loving, trusting, caring, you know, go to the ends of the earth to try to make these guys happy, even though there's no chance of ever making them happy because they're gay. You know, at least if they could be honest. So, here's an idea I did come up with. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, how we can initiate this one. But I thought, you know, if they had, like, the marriage vows, if we could just do a little readjusting with them. And so, like, if we could change the marriage vows, like, you know, I promise to love you and cherish you in, you know, sickness and in health. What are some of the other ones you have to say? Sickness and health? Poverty and wealth? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
If you're gay, you can, well, tell me immediately before you act on it. Like,
then
so add that to the ceremony so that it wouldn't be, like, such a horrendous thing. Like, women would be, you know, more understanding if we could put it inside that ceremony. And if you're gay, you will tell me immediately before you act on it. And guess what? You know, now that I've met a couple of men, not many, I'm not going to lie to you, but I've met a couple of men that knew they were gay and they didn't act on it. Because they wanted to be out of their marriages first. They didn't feel right about doing it while they were still married. So these guys really wanted to be faithful, and, you know, they really wanted to lead their gay life, but they really didn't want to be in the marriage and doing it. So I feel like that's another issue. We keep having women coming to us who have STDs and HIV, you know, which really makes me ill, that they're infected from their cheating husbands. I mean, that to me is just so unconscionable. I feel that men who do that to women really should be criminally charged. If you know you're out there cheating on your wife and you're having unprotected sex and you bring her home a sexually transmitted disease, which leads me back to my whole campaign that I don't even understand why women are responsible for paying anything towards divorce with these marriages. I mean, I think that's the biggest disgrace at all. If you have a husband who's gay, okay, you know, let him take responsibility for it. And if you get a divorce, I mean, it's not your fault you're getting the divorce. You did nothing wrong. You know, what's wrong in the marriage is the gay stuff. So, you know, if he's gay, then let him pay for the expenses of the divorce. You can depart as, you know, as friendly as you can depart. But let him take that responsibility, and then I feel like there should be something called, you know, your fault divorce. You know, it is your fault. It's not a no-fault thing. And it really bothers me when men pick on their wives and they find things that's wrong with their wives when it has nothing to do with that. Like, a straight man wouldn't care about that. But a gay man's going to look to pick on anything just because he's miserable being there. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, so many things I've got accused of, because, you know, so many things were thrown at me that I was being accused of making the marriage not work. You know, if there was any issue that arose in the marriage, I was the one that was making it arise. I was the one that was rocking the boat. I was the one that was causing the problem. It was never his problem. And I was constantly, you know, anything to deflect any attention off of him and put all the attention on me that was causing the problem. And, you know, when you're fed enough information and you're constantly fed, you know, a constant diet of negativity, you're going to not really believe much in yourself. And unfortunately, I stayed long enough to listen to let it do me damage. You know, after I got out, I repaired and healed myself, but it was horrible, just a constant diet of negativity, a constant died of you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. You know, you start to believe those things about yourself. You really do. And it's no good. It really isn't. It's no good.
You know, there are a few things I wanted to mention, you know, as we're talking. First of all, I'd like to remind women there's still a chance, you know, for you to come to the healing weekend I'm having at the end of this month, which is a combination of my birthday party and a healing weekend. So you get to go into the mode of recovery and then at least lighten up a little bit for the party before we go back to it the next day. But I think just meeting other women who can validate everything you're feeling and who understand everything is such a powerful type of thing, you know, that really helps women move forward because they know they're not alone and wonderful friendships form from this. So if you're interested, you can write to me at bonk@aol.com. Also, if you feel that you need support, you know, listening to our shows is one way that people get a lot of support, and I appreciate all of your feedback. Misty and I really do appreciate the fact that you write to us and tell us how important this show is to you. But, you know, come to our support chat. You'll meet some other wonderful women, women who have tremendous strength and who are on this journey. You know, I'm always in awe of so many of these women who are up against so much, and yet they're able to, you know, push ahead because they don't want to be held back. And I think it's, you know, wonderful that they have that kind of strength within them or inner strength. I think a lot of times, you know, you find that inner strength. And even tonight we were talking in our chat room about, you know, the obstacles of leaving in a situation, how much more difficult it is when you have children, because some of our women do have children, and it is so difficult. You know, all of a sudden you have to become the support for the family, and you have more responsibilities than you've had ever because you're a single parent. And yet, you know, sometimes you don't even have a choice. Sometimes a husband will walk out, and other times, you know, you catch him, or you know the marriage isn't working because of this reason, so you ask him to leave. You know, it always takes a lot of strength, and it's always a calculated risk, and especially if these guys aren't being honest with you. Like if they tell you, well, I'm not quite sure, or no, that's not true, or you're imagining it, or I've never done anything, you know, they come up with 101 excuses on, you know, why they're doing whatever they're doing. But women do seem to find this inner strength to stand up and take control, and even if it takes every last ounce that they have, you know, at least they say, I don't want to keep being abused like this. And I think a lot of it comes down to an abusive situation. You know, Misty, you talk about the circle of crazy. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Wow, absolutely. It's like dancing inside a circle of crazy. Once you're fed, I was talking about being fed a diet of negativity, of constant, you know, just constant things. That, you know, you're doing something wrong. You're just anything against you, you know, mean-spirited of who you are. And it starts little by little. It's like that trickle of water that turns into a stream. And you're just fed this constant diet of, you know, you don't do this right. Well, if you'd only do this a little bit better. Well, only if you, you know, it's just that diet of not being enough. And you constantly are being fed that. And you just jump inside that circle of crazy, just trying to do better and be better. And if only I could do this, if only I can do that. And you try, and you sort of almost reinvent yourself on a daily basis to mold yourself into that person that they want you to be, so you can make the marriage better, you can make it work. And what you're doing, you're basically, you know, you've heard of a dog chasing its own tail. I mean, you're like chasing your own tail inside this circle of crazy, trying to make something work that's impossible. It's so broken, it's not going to work. It's always going to be one thing after another. You know, you fix one thing and they're going to harp on something else. Something else isn't right. So it's something that's not ever going to be right when you're inside of something that's broken and you're constantly trying to fix something that's completely irreparable.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you feel crazy and completely incompetent.
I know. There's no fast ways to do this, you know, and everybody moves at, you know, her own rate. But, you know, there's a lot of support and guidance along the way. And a few weeks ago we had Wendy on our show, and Wendy is one of our favorite guests. And one of our favorite people in the world, because Wendy is just amazing. And Wendy redid her whole list for her recovery. You know, she added some new things. So if anyone hasn't received Wendy's list, her recovery map, And it says, Wendy's Recovery Map, because we all need to find our way. And it talks about all the different feelings that you go through each phase so that women can know what to expect. And what she's added to it, which I think is really wonderful, is this little part about acceptance and adjustment. You know, it's part of her new reality. But it says for the adjustment, I'm responsible for everything now, from tires to taxes to tending to the house, making all the decisions about my present life and my future. You know, these are all little things that she has there that I love. You know, wondering, should I ever believe in marriage again? Will I ever trust anyone again? Am I too old to have adolescent dreams? How do you know if it will work? Is it worth putting myself out there? You know, she has all these lists that, you know, we all go through and question all the time. And, you know, I think she has a new phase here, phase 5, you know, because before she went up to phase 4, and this is called Not There Yet, to be continued, and it might be titled Becoming Whole, also known as Moving On, and, you know, different ways to do that by setting new goals, venturing out more, taking trips, completing bigger projects around the house, giving back, paying forward to the help and support received along the way. Which I think is so important that, you know, women who get support along the way, one of the best things they can do when they're done getting the support or while they're getting the support is give support to others. I think it always makes you feel good if you can help others from your experiences. Do you agree with that, Misty?
Absolutely. And any type of healing, you know, I do a lot of work with grief work as well. And this is, you know, this is a form of grief work, this divorce and this discovery process. You know, it's a form of grief, you know, working through a process. And giving back, you know, when you get to a point, you can give back and help someone else as well. It really helps you come full circle. It really does. That's when you know you're entering that, you know, that final stretch. You know, you're really entering that process. You know, you've processed so much when you're able to get to that point where you can give back. It's such a great feeling because that feeling lets you know when you help someone new that's just entered that discovery process. I think it's such a way of understanding how far you've come. And it's such a healing in and of itself to give back to someone else to let them have hope. And then as the person that's giving back, you can see how far you've come. It's just a beautiful thing, and it really helps you come full circle. It's a wonderful thing to help others.
Yeah, we have some real generous women in this network who are always willing to give of themselves, you know, including Wendy, who always takes the time to include so many important words that really make a difference to women. And, you know, she concludes it on a personal note. If you're reading this map, you've taken a huge step forward. I encourage you to find more steps forward than backwards in your recovery journey. Sometimes a step forward may be just a small change in your mindset. It will rarely be easy, but know that it will be worth it. All journeys are a bit different, but each journey is worth taking to restore one's spirit and become whole again. I hope the map of my own journey will help you get there one day, which I think are beautiful words. And if people don't have Wendy's recovery map or you want an updated version, you know, just write to me at bonkaye at AOL.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you this new updated version. It really looks beautiful. I'll send you a copy too, Misty.
Absolutely. She can put such wonderful words to feelings that you go through.
Oh, my God, everything. I mean, she does it. Every fear, every apprehension any woman has going through all of this, Wendy is so great at articulating it, so that's why I'm so grateful to have this. And, you know, I'm happy to send it to anybody who's looking for it. I will be reprinting it in one of my upcoming newsletters as well. So, Misty, we're going to cut our show short tonight because of the fact that I'm really exhausted, and I just wanted to make sure that we touch base with all our listeners. I do want to also mention an exciting announcement that, I hope I don't say this wrong. Okay, I'm now going to be on Twitter. Does that mean anything to you, Misty?
It does, but I don't do Twitter. You know,
here's the whole thing with Twitter. Like, I'm on there now, and I'm just trying to navigate my way through it. My young nephew helped me get on there. And I'm at Bonnie K. 1, the number one after my name. Because a lot of times what happens is, like, I have important thoughts that come to me for the moment. And by the time I write them down, you know, I could put them on the blog, but that takes a lot of work, you know, to have to write a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just passing thoughts that, you know, people could really benefit from. So if I'm on Twitter, you know, you can only write a few lines and you're finished. And that way, you know, once people start following me, every time I have something important to say, you know, you'll be able to hear it,
mm-hmm.
read it. I don't know how it works.
Well,
I mean,
now
I know
you,
how it
you,
works. But anyway, Bonnie K. 1, I'll put it in the next upcoming newsletter. And that way I can keep in touch with more people, you know, instead of just the
mm-hmm.
monthly newsletter. We can also tweet each other. I guess that's what it's called.
I think
so.
You're getting the lingo.
I'm trying to get into the world of technology now that I'm going to be even older in September. And, you know, so I guess I'm trying to keep young at heart. So for the Twitter or Tweeter, whatever it may be, Bonnie K. 1, and you'll be able to get in touch with me. So that's it for tonight, Misty. We'll be here next week. We have some really excellent guests coming up. I just want to mention that for a moment before we go. And I'll tell you who's going to be joining us in the next few weeks. That we already have booked. Hold on one moment. And I'll get my calendar up. And now it's loading. Now I can look at it. Well, next week we have a really special guest on. And her name is Carolyn Pearson. Carolyn is very active in the Mormon community in making inroads with the whole, you know, gay issue. She wrote a book, I guess it has to be 25 years ago, called Goodbye, I Love You, about her own husband who died from AIDS, because back in those days people did not survive AIDS. And I happened to run into her, actually, when I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she was on there with me. You know, we were on a panel of like five women.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so touched by her story, you know, and she's such a beautiful woman, just beautiful. And I'll never forget, she gave me a copy of her book and she signed it, you know, to my sister in pain, which, you know, I thought that was a very beautiful moment for me, you know, the fact that she would sign it that way. And I kind of forgot about her, and all of a sudden I'm reading some materials and her name popped up, so I got in touch with her. And she was very gracious, and she said she would definitely appear on our show. Since that time, I understand she's done a lot of screenwriting for a play that's going on about, you know, I believe the subject as far as the Mormons are concerned, but she'll be a really interesting guest. And then on September 23rd, we have one of our favorite people coming back, Suzette Hinton. Suzette is really wonderful. And she talks a lot about minority women as well and, you know, the struggles they have to go through. And, you know, she's been on our show before and people really love when she comes on. So for our, you know, next couple of weeks, you know, we have some really good guests and then we have some scheduled for October as well. So please make sure to keep tuning in. And did you have any other final words, Misty?
I think that's it. I think you covered it. Just good night and love to all.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll be back here next week, and love to you all. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye, Misty. Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.